going to attempt to tie this process over into different areas of your life, life of others going around you. It's important to understand the difference in communication. They're called paradigms. A paradigm is simply a way of feeling, thinking, and acting towards yourself, towards others, towards the world, and towards authority. There's a patriarchal paradigm where there's an external authority you're accountable to. There's a middle or transitional paradigm, and that's called a matriarchal paradigm, and that's where feelings predominate. Feelings are what drive the outcome. Now, the third one is the heresiarchal paradigm, and that's the issue of change. Because with feelings in the matriarchal structure, you're still tied to the father's authority. So there's a conflict between the two. Knowing what you're supposed to do, yet wanting to do what you want to do. Now, the third paradigm is called a heresiarchal paradigm for the simple reason it's a practice of heresy. In other words, there is no father's authority. Everything is subject to your feelings and the world that stimulates them. Now, in the heresiarchal paradigm, if there's anything in the environment, it's called stimulus response, that engenders pleasure, you approach it and you augment it. In other words, you try to increase the environment that stimulates it. And if you run into anything in the environment that stimulates hate, your agenda is to remove it or create an environment where it's no longer welcome. It's literally negated. Now, we come with the patriarchal and the matriarchal paradigm. You need someone to help you, quote unquote, to achieve the heresiarchal paradigm. Adam and Eve had the patriarchal and the matriarchal in the garden. But there was a facilitator of change, proper use of that term for that descriptive, for that behavior. And his agenda was to move Adam and the woman into a heresiarchal paradigm, where the father's authority no longer was relevant. Excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. Now, this is pointed out in a book, Science, Order, and Creativity, by Bohm and Pete. Probably the best explanation of the difference between these ways of communicating. One is through discussion, the other is through dialogue. Now, in a discussion, there's a father's authority. In other words, there's an external authority, it's called objective truth. There's an external authority, there's an object out there that holds you accountable. And so that authority has the ultimate say. You can share how you feel and what you think, but they have the final say. Now, in the dialogue, now one's a discussion, that's the father's authority. Dialogue is you. It's your feelings, your thoughts. There is no father's authority in dialogue. Dialogue in and of itself is simply you doing what you feel like doing, but we come with both. And so Bohm explains the difference. In an ordinary discussion, people usually hold relatively fixed positions and argue, notice he uses a word, in favor of their views as they try to convince others to change. And so in that discussion environment, there's right and there's wrong. It's a fixed position. In other words, you'd say to the other person, you're wrong. Of course, they might have their position and say back to you, you're wrong. So there's a division. But everybody holds to their position. The objective is to persuade with facts and information and evidence that your position is right and the other position, other person's position is wrong. And so that's a traditional discussion. Now, dialogue, Bohm writes, a dialogue is essentially a conversation between equals. See, the discussion, there's a top-down structure. There's an objective truth. There's someone external, some object external to you that has a final say. But in dialogue, it's equal. There is no external authority. It's all subjective. It's subject to how you feel, what you think. So, again, he says a dialogue is essentially a conversation between equals. And listen to the verbiage. The spirit of dialogue is, in short, the ability to hold many points of view in suspension, along with their primary interest in the creation of common meaning. Now, if established commands, rules, facts, and truth, which are tied to the Father's authority, they're external, they hold, they're established. How you feel, what you think, won't change them. If they're going to be changed, it's by persuasion. It's by evidence coming from external to you, and you weigh it. And so basically, you're weighing facts on facts and truth on truth. In dialogue, it's all subjective. It's what we all have in common. For us to have a conversation between equals, we have to all come into the room with this same feeling and thought ability. Because if we come with right and wrong, we came in with our Father's standards. See, objective true. But in dialogue, everybody's equal. And it's this spirit of dialogue in that we're trying to find what we all have in common. And what we all have in common, the Bible makes it very clear, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father, that's discussion, but of the world, that's dialogue. When God created Adam, he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. He formed him from the dust of the ground, breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, he became a living soul. The next thing God did with Adam, which he did with nothing else in the creation, nothing else. Everything in the creation is stimulus response. He told him what he could and could not do. So we have a patriarchal paradigm. So if there was any question about what God had said, God has the final say. It would be a discussion. God says, come, let us reason together. Is God going to change his position? No. Not his commands, rules, facts, and truth. Now, he's merciful. He's patient, but he's not tolerant. Be perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, we can't do that because we have dialogue. As long as God said you can eat of all these trees, you can dialogue because you've been told what you can do. And so, therefore, in that dialogue, you can go, I feel, or I think, or I like, or I don't like. And there's a spectrum there. You like certain things more than you like other things. And so there's this feelings-driven in the midst of the command. Because he commanded him what he could eat. And he also commanded what he could not eat. Now, the only thing you could ever do, if you had any question about it, would be a discussion. In other words, God would have the final say. You never have the final say in a discussion with Dad. Dad can be wrong, the earthly father, but he has the final say. And the objective is when you leave, you're saying to yourself, but Dad's wrong. We still have this discussion, right-wrong paradigm. You simply do what's right when you can outside of his authority. It's when you've grown up. Because I guarantee if you do it while you're still under his roof, he has the final say. Now, Jesus said, call no man father on earth, for you have one father which is in heaven. So he said, I came to bring peace, but a sword. And he didn't divide the parents from the other parents. He didn't divide the community. He said, I'll divide the father from the son, the mother from the daughter, the mother-in-law from the daughter-in-law. And so there's going to be a division in the home because God the Father has the final say, not your earthly father. Now, if it's an issue of washing dishes or taking the garbage out, your earthly father has the final say. If it comes to a moral issue, to a behavior, God has the final say. And so that's all discussion. But we also have dialogue within us. And so we have discussion and dialogue with all the trees we can eat from. But when we take dialogue over to what we cannot do, there's heresy. That's where we sin. And so if I start to treat the area that God says you cannot do as equal, say equal with what I can do, I become God. And so in dialogue, I feel and I think, you're God. And so there's a spirit in dialogue, and it is the ability, as Boehm says, to hold many points of view in suspension. So any truth you hold, you can suspend it for the sake of building common meaning, that's relationship with others, and you create it. And so you're the creator. You're creating the world according to how you think it should be, how it, quote unquote, ought to be, not how it is. And so that's the imagination of the heart, because in imagination of the heart, we create a world that we think it ought to be, not how it is, because God tells you how it is. Now, man can tell you how it is, and it's miserable under him. He can be. You know, your father could be a tyrant. Now, his office is perfect. He's just not submitted himself to God in serving it. He's like a child. He's chasing after dialogue. I oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. I feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. In areas God has told him, cannot, must not, thou shalt not. And so we carry these two. And based upon behavior, if we go to dialogue, we're going to do what we feel like doing. If we go to discussion, we're going to do what Dad tells us to do. Now, this is key. As a believer, now as the world, they're not cognizant of this, but as a believer, if you go into dialogue in regards to behavior, what's right and what's wrong behavior, you've read the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have to, listen to me, you have to suspend God's point of view to participate in the process. You literally have to suspend Christ on the cross. Because you see, the life of Christ was this: what my Father commands, that's what I do. I can do nothing of my own self. What my Father commands, see, that's where he goes. That's what he says. That's what the Lord does. And then he's called us to do the same. He who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. So all we can do as a believer when it comes to behavior and the Word of God is it has to be preached. You preach commands and rules. It has to be taught. You teach facts and truth. And if there's any discussion, it's at God's discretion. It's whether he has time. I don't know. I'll just add that because that's how we are on the earthly end of this, because same structure in the traditional home. Whether the parent or the teacher has time. Whether you're capable of understanding. Now, if you're in defiance, no discussion. It's just chastening, reproof, correction. And so there's this top-down structure in the discussion. That's the old class. You sat them in a row. You taught them facts. Didn't mean you didn't care about them, the students. But the objective was, here are the facts. Learn them. Apply them. Same thing God did with Adam. Here are the facts. Learn them. Apply them. Now, if you go to dialogue, I feel and I think, to what you've been told you cannot do, therein is a spirit of rebellion. Because you're going to go, well, like the woman did, she felt like touching the tree. See, I feel like touching it. And she went to thought. Because once the fear of God is removed, once fear of authority is removed, or the Father's authority, in other words, you're no longer thinking about him. You're thinking about what you want what others want and you want, you can do what you want without having a guilty conscience, as long as you stay in dialogue. See, as long as you stay in I feel and I think, but the moment you go back to discussion, Dad shows up. See, when God confronted Adam in the garden, and Adam said, "We're afraid of you because we're naked," God's response was, "Who told you?" See, objective truth. Who told you that? Because walking in faith, that's all Adam could do. God's, you know, in a way, God's saying, "Wow, somebody had to tell you you were naked." And then, oh, you must have been dialoguing over there with a thou shalt not tree. Because when you take I feel and I think into an environment of right and wrong, wrong is gone. It's all right. The only thing wrong is somebody who inhibits you from dialoguing. And so therefore, the Father's out. In dialogue, the Father's out. Let's apply this to the home. The child says, you know, "Dad, I want to go out." And Dad says no. Now, the child has two choices. He can either go to discussion, which Dad has a final say, and he already knows where that's going. Because, yeah, he knows these kids he's going out with. Dad's not approving. And so the only way he can ever go out is get Dad in dialogue, into I feel and I think. And so the response is, why? You can't go out. Why? And now you want, as a child, when you did this, you want your dad to get into dialogue, because in dialogue, you're equal. If Dad says, "Well, I don't think you should go out," or "I don't feel like you should go out," you know what? You can go out. And he can't say a thing. It's his opinion. In dialogue, it's an opinion, and we're all equal. But he goes back to discussion. He has final say. And you keep trying, "Well, I'm going to do, I've been friends, I blah, blah, blah," you know. And he goes, "No," end of conversation. "Why, Dad?" "Because I said so. Because I said so." We find that in scriptures. It is written. See, the master facilitator of change who came to the woman in the garden and tempted her with the lust of the flesh. Tree was good for food. Lust of the eyes. It was pleasing to the eyes. It was like all the other trees, by the way. And the pride of life is, it's to make one wise. I can decide for myself what's right and what's wrong. I don't need God. I'm God. In dialogue, you're God. You get it? So, in the temptations, that's all the facilitator of change was trying to do with the Lord. You know, turn a stone into bread. It is written. Dad says, look at the kingdoms of the world. I'll give them to you. Thou shalt worship. It is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him you should worship. I'm not going to worship you. Besides, the Lord's coming to judge the kingdoms. Why would he want them to have control over them when they're all in rebellion and judgment and under the devil? And then jump off the pinnacle. Look who you are. Pride of life. Angels will protect you. Everybody will know how important you are. And Jesus said, don't tempt God. And he starts each one with, it is written, Dad says. Discussion. And see, if you go into discussion in an environment of dialogue, you can't participate when it's behavior, when it's right and wrong behavior. And so you're going to always appear, if the environment is dialogue, you're going to always appear as being argumentative. Now, if you're by yourself, they'll just go their way. And you'll tell them, well, what you're doing is wrong. And they'll say, well, that's your opinion. No, what you're doing is wrong. Well, that's your opinion. Well, what you're doing is wrong. That's your opinion. Because in dialogue, you cannot have wrong. It stops the dialogue. This is powerful. What happened in education? What happened in the workplace? What happened in government? Somebody came in and said, we can solve this a lot easier if we simply put aside our differing positions and just got to know one another and build relationship, because relationship is built on, I feel and I think, it's built on compromise for the sake of getting along. The Bible doesn't talk about relationship. It talks about fellowship. You fellowship around a position. Fellowship is based upon discussion. Relationship is based around dialogue. And so what happened in the classroom, they put the kids in a circle, and they had them working on a project. You know, a crisis. This is true for your legislators, true for your police, you know, crime, all kinds of issues. You don't let a crisis go to waste. Instead of somebody coming in and trying to persuade everyone else, this is the right way to do, that's the wrong way to do, now we get in circles and we dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? And we share our opinion. And the objective is to come to a consensus, a feeling of oneness. Now, if anybody's in there and insists upon discussion, they're going to be attacked. Let me explain. You send your child, who's trained in discussion, in right and wrong, into a classroom that does that group circle for the group grade, which is all built on dialogue. Your child is going to be a witness. A witness for your position, which he has accepted by faith as his position. He's going to be a witness. He's not going to change. In a room full of change, everybody has to change. But your child isn't going to convert, isn't going to go with the process, isn't going to go to dialogue, isn't going to go, I feel and I think, to a, it is written. And your child's going to be a witness. God knows about this. It's all through Scripture. This process. The Greek word for witness is martyrius. Your child is going to be martyred. Has to be. Now, it can take on the form of he becomes silent. See, silence is consent. You say, well, okay, the group's going wrong. I'll just be silent. You know, I'll let it pass by and then I'll pick up on the other side. No, everybody who's doing wrong, there's no judgment. The agenda has been accomplished. There is no judgment. There's no right or wrong in the conversation, because silence is consent. Now, you don't think it that way, but that's what the world sees. Oh, he didn't say anything. I'm okay. You abdicated. And so your child decides not to be silent. And so he starts to say things, and before long, the group turns on him, and he's censored. Don't be so negative. Let's be positive. You know, don't be so judgmental. And before long, nobody's talking to him. And then he's cast out. He's an outcast. But you want that child of yours to be a witness. And so you send him into this dialogue environment to be martyred. Aren't you proud? But you didn't know that. But your child came home troubled. But that's what's going on. Same process in the garden. Lust of the flesh, good for food. Lust of the eyes, pleasing the eyes. Desires to make one wise, pride of life. Jesus tempted the same way, and your child is too, in that group grade classroom. And your child's, see, one of the things you study, I studied Soviet law, and it's one phrase, jurisprudence of terror. In other words, you go into the court and you experience terror. Trauma and terror takes two forms, loosely defined rules. Well, everybody goes, I feel and I think. The rules are flexible. They're changeable. You don't set the rules. You didn't set the rules. You're not there to set the rules. And so your child is traumatized. And then not only rules, but laws are changed. And they're changed by the current situation, by the leadership. So there's total instability in communication for your child. There's no way he can go from one side of the room to the other without participating in dialogue, and he cannot. If he holds to discussion, he's out. And his grade that you want him to have, that A, is on the other side of the room. That's what happened in education in the 50s and 60s, called Bloom's taxonomies. Because if you look at the taxonomies, they might make sense at first, but what's missing is the father. Because in the heresiarchal paradigm, in dialogue, pure dialogue, there's no father. Now, in the matriarchal, there's father, son, father, you, there's I feel, I think, and dad says. And so you feel guilty. And this is where the guilty conscience comes in, is that you decide to go do what you feel like doing. You get in this dialogue mode. You do it. And then you get back to discussion and the guilty conscience shows up. Oh, boy, what's dad going to do? There comes judgment, condemnation, and fear of being cast out. Judgment. And so this is even in the church. Go to a Bible study. And, the leader wants everybody to participate, even the lost. And so you open up the Bible, you read a verse, and then you turn to Joe, and you go, Joe, how do you feel about this? Or what do you think? And you say, well, how can the church go, a conservative church, a fellowship, turn all the way over to heresy? Ha, right there. Oh, but we're trying to get everybody's participation. No, you preach and teach the Word of God. See, because if you go, I feel and I think, to the Word of God, you're God. You break the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But you're God. But you can go, I feel and I think. I think God meant this. Well, I feel like he meant that. See, that's where it starts, is taking dialogue into the realm of discussion. It works in the workplace. It worked in government. Look at the immorality. Look at the immorality in our whole nation. It's because we rejected the Word of God, which is discussion. It is written. It is written. It is written. Weighing the Word of God upon the Word of God. And ministers will get up now and go, well, I got to preach my opinion. That's heresy. No, you preach the Word of God. You teach the Word of God. You discuss the Word of God. But nowhere in the Word of God have you been given the authority to change it, to get along with anyone. Oh, but we want to grow the church. No, the Lord adds to the church. The Lord adds to the church. How does he add to the church? By his Word and Holy Spirit bringing people under conviction through his Word, not your opinion. Anyway, hopefully this gives you a little sense of what's going on. It's a diverse group of people. You have to have deviancy in the room because we're going to go to dialogue, so they have just as much right to share their feelings and thoughts as your child who is reading the Word of God. And if your child refuses to participate, then he's going to be martyred. And of course, as a facilitator, you want to show everybody else how to do it, and your child is the mark. And you should be proud if he is the mark and doesn't change and gets martyred. You put him there. Bible says you are to train up your child in the admonition of the Lord. Not to turn him over to the world and let the world do it. Where is your child going to go? And you say, well, he'll grow into faith. Not a child. You protect your children. You don't turn your children over to wolves. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Quit the dialogue when it comes to God's Word. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and let him be the one who directs your paths.